Well, hello and welcome. I'm Andrew Williamson, the Managing Partner of Cambridge Innovation Capital, or CIC as we refer to ourselves. And today I'm delighted to host a conversation with Dr. Ian Jauncey. So Ian has been the chair of our Jersey Fund for several years now, but the reason that we're having this conversation today is that I'm delighted that Ian has increased his involvement with CIC and has joined us recently as an operating partner on our investment team. And in normal times, we would be introducing a new partner around to our ecosystem through a bunch of impersonal interviews and discussions. But given these strange times that we're in, I thought it would be great to use this opportunity to do a video interview for Ian so that you can all get to learn a bit more about his very extensive background and hear some of his perspectives as an entrepreneur and an investor and an operator. So by way of brief introduction, Ian studied natural sciences at Oxford and then went on to do a PhD at Southampton. And since then has had a varied career, starting in analysis and consultancy. Then he went on to run a business division at Siemens and has recently had a very successful entrepreneurial career. These days, Ian is spreading his time, both managing a growing and very successful portfolio of his own personal technology investments. But as I said at the beginning, also now working with a couple of the technology companies in CIC's portfolio. So Ian, let's start a little bit with some background and go back to the beginning and talk a bit about your entrepreneurial journey. So you're a trained natural scientist, and then you've gone on to have this international career in management consultancy and entrepreneurship and investing. Maybe you could just sort of give us a whistle-stop tour through that and pick out some of the highlights and key decision points, inflection points along the way that you think might be interesting for our audience.
Well, hello, Andrew, and good to be talking to you. I guess it probably started even before I went to university, because I left school a year early. So I was actually too young to go up to Oxford. So I spent some time working for a CRO. And that was when I first got interested and realized you could produce some cool things that had an impact. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. During my PhD, it was a really exciting time. And I was lucky enough to build the world's first all optical fiber amplifier, which meant that we could send light signals right the way across the ocean. And this was in the late 80s, and it was one of the key forerunner technologies for the internet. And it was just great fun, and I got a lot of kudos from other scientists. I got to travel, I even made it onto TV twice, and I made no money out of it whatsoever. And so my lesson from that is, understand what intellectual property is all about. After my time at Southampton, I then had did some real jobs, as you said, analysis and consulting, and was on the corporate ladder. But, you know, it got to a point where I thought, actually, it's more fun and I'm more excited about working with small teams. I like the joie de vivre. So I then took over a small tech business. We grew that. I changed it into a managed service business. We competed and that grew the opposition, took them over. And then we sold the whole lot in 2013. And I think looking back, you know, there's lots of lessons that I could learn from that. But one of them is we were always looking to introduce new products and services to our clients, most of which worked, but some of them didn't. And then after that, then I became an investor.
I thought we could start with innovation. It's our middle name at CIC. And it's a really interesting field that you can come at from so many different angles. And I think it's fair to say that we're all still learning what's required for successful innovation, what we could do differently, and all of the experiences that we've had. So maybe you could just share a few of your thoughts and experiences on innovation, what some of the signals for when innovation is going well, some of the things to watch out for, some of the data that you've looked at over the years that's helped inform you.
Well, you're right. We're all still learning about innovation. There is no one playbook that's going to guarantee success. But if you start looking at some of the data, some of the information that's coming out, particularly out of the West Coast at the US, there's probably three things that I'd pull out. The first one is that entrepreneurs that learn are demonstrably more successful. Typically, they are absolutely clear that they will not work without having strong mentors in the organization. They'll make sure that they are very critical about understanding the key parameters within their business and learning from them and making sure that they understand their own mistakes and others' mistakes and then learning on that and building on that. So organizations and entrepreneurs that learn, that's clearly better. The second point is premature scaling. You know, it's often said businesses run out of money and that's what actually causes them to fail. But why do they run out of money? And the evidence is it's because too many businesses get ahead of themselves. They haven't quite figured out actually which market, which customers they need to concentrate on and which ones they don't. So they're almost trying to buy market share rather than earn it. And that's what causes them to fail. And I think the third point, and possibly the most interesting for me, is businesses that pivot twice are proven to raise more money, have greater market share, scale it more quickly. And why is that? Well, compared to some businesses which right at the beginning have one way that they're going to go, and no matter what else happens, they're absolutely going to follow that path. Well, it may well not be the right path. Or businesses that are more butterfly businesses that just fly off into any area. Those that understand that actually you need to occasionally, subtly, perhaps, or greatly change direction, those are the ones that succeed. Innovation is not a straight line to success. And for CIC, I think it's very interesting because innovation is a key part of what we do. And making sure that we understand what are those parameters, what are the things that make a difference. We can help organizations work through those pivot points. They're often the most critical times within the business. After all, as we said, innovation is no guarantee for success. There is no playbook. It's having the wherewithal and everything around. That's what makes the difference.
So let's talk a little bit about people and teams. I think it's an often used truism that in our business where we think about we're investing in IP and commercializing fundamental technology breakthroughs, that we should think more and more and more about technology and how you commercialize it. But actually, the more time I spend investing in technology-based startups, the more I realize that actually we're in the people business as much or if not more than we are in the technology or the IP business. And it's both about individuals and some of the profiles that can make a successful entrepreneur and leader of a technology-based startup, but also about the team dynamic and how those teams can work together. Perhaps you can share for the listeners some of your some of the things you look for when you think about what's going to make a good entrepreneur and a team of entrepreneurs.
Sure. I mean, this is a really interesting area. How much time do you and I spend dating people, listening to the plans they've got? In fact, I'll start by just a quick anecdote about plans. There's a story, whether it's an urban myth or related to a Wall Street Journal entry, I'm not quite sure, but it talks about Seymour Cray, who is legendary and also a bit of a maverick. And the story goes that at one time he was asked to produce a one-year plan and a five-year plan. And he came back the following day with two ring binders, each of which had just one piece of paper in them. And in the five-year plan, the one piece of paper had just one sentence, and it said, to build the world's fastest computers. And the one-year plan, one-page sentence said, deliver one-fifth of the five-year plan. And that was it. That's all he needed, and we know how successful he was. But it's interesting talking about, you know, what makes the difference between people and plans. And sometimes people have said to me, you know, what are the things that you look for? And one of my favorite phrases, and I don't know who said this first, it certainly wasn't me, is look for ambition in abundance, crystal clear vision, uncompromising execution. And if I could portray that and communicate that to all the entrepreneurs that we see, I think it would make a great difference. And as we said, those are the things that are actually more people-based rather than plan-based. You talked a little bit about teams, and that's quite interesting as well. There's quite a lot of research and data that's come out of the US, universities of Illinois and Utah, etc. They've been doing these experiments, gameplay, pitting teams against individuals. And the results are quite clear. When you've got teams of three, four, or five individuals, they are better at assimilating information. They are better at spotting the wrong way of doing things, erroneous data coming in. They are better at actually putting strategy in place. And yet you say, well, what about when the inspirational leaders, you know, the likes of Gates and Jobs and Zuckerberg, et cetera. And yes, of course, there are exceptions and they make a difference, but these guys have good teams behind them. And the guys at Harvard were doing a particular study to do with when you have two people playing one person again in these gaming theories, how do they perform? And it's often the case that actually the two persons outperform the single person. They are better at saying, do you know what? There is an alternative to how we originally thought it. And that's what makes the difference. And you know, we are in the innovation business, Andrew. As we said, it's our middle name. And by definition, innovative companies are doing things for the first time. So the world is almost inevitably not going to be quite like how we thought it was going to be when we first set out. And the ability of teams to be able to deal with that is crucial. Now, one of the other things these studies pointed out is teams can get too big. Yes, you can spend so much time then starting to deal with team dynamics and the individual one-to-one relationships, and then you chip away at performance and motivation, etc., and then you get suboptimal performance. And so there's clearly an optimum balance, and that isn't necessarily going to be the same throughout a business life cycle. And I think to bring it back for what we can do at CIC, what I like about part of what we do is we can provide those wraparound services. So if you are more of the inspirational, maybe single entrepreneur at the beginning, we have a whole range of other skills and resources that we can pull forward. Whereas if you're perhaps later stage and you've got teams, as we've seen in some of the other companies, we can help them at critical times because we've had some of those experiences before. We know how to do it. We know how to optimize those performance. I think that's what makes the difference.
Fantastic. Well, Ian, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today and giving us some a little window into some of your experiences and your perspectives. And as I said, I think this should just be the very first step in introducing you to the broader CIC family and our innovation ecosystem. And I hope that soon we'll be able to introduce you in person to many of the folks here. But thanks again for your time today.
Look forward to it.